Number 42. Shall we stand? Everything that's happened this morning, please try and keep your minds, and I'll try and keep my mind on the real purpose that we've gathered here this morning. And that's to hear the Word of God and to remember our Savior. I ask you now that you would give your attention to my brother-in-law, Ken Orr.
Thank you, Jay. They said unto me, What meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw that led to the tree of life, to the tree? And I said unto them that it was the word of God, and whoso would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, excuse me, they would never perish, neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness to lead them away to destruction. Later on, I'd like to discuss those few verses. I just thought I'd read them to start with to get them in our mind. And you'll have to excuse me this morning. I got half a cold and half of something else. So I hope you'll bear with me. Last couple days, and I think I'll start with it. It's been impressed upon me to bear testimony to you people. Many years ago, I don't know how, but 10 or 11 years ago now, church didn't mean too much to me. If somebody wanted to go, that was fine with me. If they didn't want to go, that was fine with me. I didn't bother. Probably for 9 or 10 years, I could count on one hand the number of times I was inside a church. Then at one point in my life, I took stock of where I was and where I was headed. The answers that I come up with, I didn't like too much. And within me, there was a great emptiness. It was an emptiness I hadn't really felt before. And I can't remember exactly when it started to happen or the circumstances. But there was a great emptiness within me. That emptiness was not knowing the Lord. I was brought up in a Christian home. I guess those values at that time started to come back to me, and I knew I had to seek the Lord. And not bothering with God or with any type of religious organizations for several years, I guess I didn't know where to turn. So I went to different churches. And I can't remember all the names of the different churches I went to, but I can remember the feelings that I had there. And even back then when I didn't know the Spirit of the Lord, I didn't know what it was that was within me that was drawing me. All I knew that I was hungry for something. Back then, even in my small understanding, one church I went into, I felt cold. Another church I went into, I didn't feel anything one way or the other. And I went on like this for probably 1 or 2 years. And then all of a sudden it hit me. To get in touch with the Church of Christ. I really didn't know what it was called at that time. All I knew was that I'd remembered my parents speaking of it. And it was impressed upon my mind to write my mother and get her to put me in contact with someone. And if I remember correctly, she wrote a letter to my brother Don Husnick over there. And he in turn wrote to Tony Grinzik, and we started communicating. And finally I started attending this church. My testimony is, and I really don't know why I feel it's so important to testify of it, but my testimony is that I know that this gospel is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That the scriptures we have in the Book of Mormon and the Bible are the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That we have the fullness of the gospel pertaining to the salvation of our souls. And I'd like to testify that I've had witness of the truthfulness of this gospel, of the Book of Mormon, and that we are the Church of the Lamb of God. That's not to say that God doesn't work with other peoples in other churches. But we are the only church on earth that is His church, that has the authority to act in His name. Page 40 in the Book of Mormon. I'd like to start verse 226. And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few, because of the wickedness and abominations of the whore who sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, who were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth. And their dominion upon the face of the earth were small, because of the wickedness of the great whore whom I saw. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abominations did gather together in multitudes upon the face of all the earth, among all the nations of the Gentiles, to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the Church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord, who were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory. armed with righteousness, our values, our morals, our good works before men. I found it interesting that we were first armed with righteousness and then with the power of God. To me, the being armed with righteousness put it upon our shoulders. What we did with the gospel, how we lived it, the values that we hold up before men. And then, the power of God. I'd like to turn to page 635. I'm going to borrow parts of, to me, one of the greatest sermons ever given. And as we read, I'd like to maybe expand on some of the thoughts, if I could. Maybe open our hearts and our minds to the type of people that we really must be. I'd like to start at about the 47th verse on page 635. These are the words of Christ. "Therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall believe in me and be baptized after that ye have seen me and know that I am. And again, more blessed are they," I believe speaking to you and me, "more blessed are they who shall believe in your words, because that ye shall testify that ye have seen me and that ye know that I am. Yea, blessed are they who shall believe in your words and come down into the depths of humility and be baptized, for they shall be visited with fire and with the Holy Ghost and shall receive a remission of their sins." "Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit, who come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the humble." I don't think God receives somebody of a high and a haughty spirit, someone who possibly thinks more of himself than he should. But we must be poor in spirit. We must be humble. Before God, before Jesus Christ, and before our fellow man, we must walk in humility. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." I think, basically, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that are sorrowful, repentant for sins. If we go on to Christ, He'll comfort us. He'll forgive us. Possibly also that it has to deal with the sorrow we may feel as we walk through this life. The loss of a loved one or for any other reason. And I can testify that the Lord does comfort those who stand in need. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Patient, mild, not inclined to anger or resentment. "If we're meek, we shall inherit the earth." "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." Have you ever been hungry? Real hungry or real thirsty? You have a great desire for food or for drink. You have a craving. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. We can't walk along and say, "I'm going good enough," for my efforts are all right. We must strive daily to be filled with righteousness. We must hunger and thirst after it. Not just be satisfied with our station in life, with where we are, pertaining to our spirituality. To hunger and to thirst to do better. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those that have compassion and forgiveness. Several weeks ago, and I debated within my mind whether to even mention this, but I think I should. I felt impressed. I don't even think it was a prayer service. I think it was a song service. I felt impressed that we lacked forgiveness. That we weren't able to let go of the anger or hurt that we may have felt within our hearts towards someone or about something. That we weren't able to let it go and completely forgive one another. We must. You know, we can say we love somebody and we forgive them, but if we harbor anger, resentment, or hurt within our hearts and our minds, we haven't truly forgiven. We must pray that we can release whatever it is within us that would keep us from forgiving someone completely, having the love of Christ within our hearts for that person. Blessed are all the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are all the pure in heart. We're free. Free from anything that may taint us or impair our spirituality. You know, if we hold within us evil thoughts or evil desires, or thoughts or desires that are not of God, we're not truly pure in heart. And I think going back to the previous one, if we're not forgiving, we're not pure in heart. If we have thoughts, or if we say things that would hurt someone, cause someone to be discouraged, I don't believe we're pure in heart. Much to my sorrow and shame, I've taken part in past times of conversations that have hurt people. I've listened to conversations that really people have said cruel things about other people. You know, and if that person had been there to hear that, it would have hurt them very deeply. Or if someone had been walking by and heard those remarks, and quite possibly they could have thought who they were talking about themselves, and hurt them deeply. We're not to be that way. We're to speak kindly one of another. We're to hold each other up. Blessed are all the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We're to bring people together, not drive them apart. We're to draw people in and not push them away. We're to sow the seeds of peace and happiness and joy, not of discontent or unrest. We're to lift each other up in the spirit of love. Blessed are all they who are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, I doubt there's very few of us within this room that have been truly persecuted for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know there's some. I've heard stories of Brother Don in Mexico and other apostles and missionaries that have run into problems. But I've looked up the word persecute. It means to afflict or harass constantly, to injure or distress. I don't think any of us have been harassed constantly, have been subject to physical abuse. But the day is coming when we may be. And I hope and pray that we can stand strong at that time. For brothers and sisters, we haven't been persecuted as a church, as a group of people. Maybe from time to time through our history, but you and I today, we really haven't lived in a time where we've been persecuted for our belief. Someday we will be, and we're going to have a strong faith, a strong belief in this gospel to endure that persecution. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. That means to regard as vile, contempt, suffer abusive language. Men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You notice it says against you falsely. If what they say is true, then it's upon our heads. But if they revile and persecute us falsely for Christ's name, then blessed are we. For ye shall have great joy and be exceeding glad, for great shall be your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets were before you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted. The salt shall be thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. What does salt do? Doesn't it bring out the goodness? You put salt on something, doesn't it bring out the flavor, the goodness? If you're referred to as the salt of the earth, you're usually referred to as an outstanding person, morally and spiritually strong. You know, sometimes we can be a good influence on people. Sometimes we can cause people to make a different decision than they would have just because we've been there. Maybe because that person knows what we feel or what we think, and because of our presence, may not do an evil deed. But we're to be a light unto this people. For verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the light of this people. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel? Nay, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. What is light? Isn't light opposed to darkness? And in this case, spiritual darkness. Aren't we to be opposed to spiritual darkness? To be an example to others? To show the way. And if we hide the gospel of Jesus Christ, how can we show the way? If we don't walk any differently than others, how do we show the way? Therefore, let your light so shine before this people that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Not for our honor, not for our glory, for the glory of our Father. Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, one jot or one tittle has not passed away from the law, but in me it has all been fulfilled. And behold, I have given you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me and be ye saved. Come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Be deeply sorrowful, to be humble, willing to repent. We have to come on to him submissive. We can't come on to him proud and haughty, but submissive. Turn over to page 640. Verse 110 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and three thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and you can't serve the world. Can't be done. You know, we have to be in the world. We have to be part of it. We have to make our living. But we don't have to partake of the things that the world has to offer. And let us be sure that our treasure's in heaven. Let us be sure that if the day ever comes, that we have to walk away from what we have, that we can do it. That we can do it and not look back and regret it, but be glad and happy when that day comes. Lot's wife. I really don't believe that she was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back. I believe she was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back with longing in her heart. She didn't want to leave what she had. Her heart and her mind were not on our Lord and Master. They were on the things of the world and the things that she possessed. And maybe the things that they were doing, maybe she enjoyed that. But let us be sure, brothers and sisters, that when the time comes that we can turn our backs. No matter how much or how little we may have, that it means nothing. Let our treasure be in heaven. On the next page, page 642. Therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, who built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, this time of year, probably more so than any other time, our thoughts, I'll take that back, not our thoughts, but the thoughts of the people of the world are drawn towards Jesus Christ. For this is the traditional time of the year that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Master. You know, it matters not to me whether he was born in December or April or May or July or whenever. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that he was born. The important thing is to keep our thoughts on the reason why he was born. You know, as we gather this morning, and my brother mentioned in his prayer that we draw our hearts and our minds in and try to remove from our consciousness those things that would draw us away. You know, and I would hope also that as we gathered together this morning that we came, I think we should come expectant to receive whatever kind of service it is. And I think we should keep in mind that when we enter here, we're in the presence of our Lord and Master. You know, we can leave our burdens at his feet. We don't need to carry the cares of the world within us here. Our Lord and Master, just keep in mind that he came to break the bands of death, to free us, to reconcile us with God. Third Nephi, chapter 4. Verses 44 through 48. Words of Christ. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me has the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And even so will I, as to as many as shall believe in my name, for behold, by me redemption cometh. And in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Truly is our life and our light. In the fifth chapter of 3 Nephi, page 632... Verse 8, this is the voice that the people heard. And it said unto them, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him. And it came to pass that they understood and cast their eyes up again towards heaven, and behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven, and he was clothed in the white robe, and he came down and stood in the midst of them. And the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon them, and they durst not open their mouths, even one to another, and wist not what it meant. For they thought it was an angel that had appeared unto them. It came to pass that he stretched forth his hand and spake unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of whom the prophets testify should come into the world. Behold, I am the light and the life of the world, and I have drunk out of that bitter cup which the Father has given me, and have glorified the Father, and taken upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. He truly did come to do the will of the Father, take upon him the sins of the world. And he gave us, the plan of salvation. What we must do to obtain eternal life. What we must do to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Once we have belief and faith in Jesus Christ and accept him as our Savior, we must follow the commandments and the steps that he has given to us of repentance and baptism, of the laying on of hands. And he also said that we must endure to the end. Even that is not enough to receive him, to enter into the waters of baptism, to receive the Holy Ghost. That is not enough. But to endure unto the end, to keep ourselves righteous. Keep ourselves righteous. Many, many, many times in the scriptures that word is given to us. We're to be a righteous people. We're to be clothed with righteousness. Let us be a righteous people. Let us be clothed with righteousness. Let us not harbor thoughts and desires that are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Christ said that if any man puts his hand to the plow and turns back, he's not worthy. Speaking to more in the ministry, speaking to everyone, that once we put our hand to the gospel, and once we've committed our lives, we're not to go back to the way we were. We're not to long for the things that we gave up. We're to resist the influence of the adversary and to remove from our hearts and our minds those thoughts and desires that are contrary. Our thoughts and our desires should be on things above, not on things of the world. You know, we read at the beginning on page 45, the rod of iron was the word of God, And whoso would hearken unto the word of God, would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. The word of God. You know, that word of God, I'm going to read the next verse before I continue. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness, to lead them away to destruction. Fiery darts and the temptations. Jesus said to the Apostle Peter, he said, the devil desires to have you, to sift you as wheat. You know, the devil desires to have each and every one of us here. And if we let him, he can so touch our hearts and our minds and our very beings that he can lead us away to destruction. You know, many times he can lead us away and we're not even aware of it. He's so subtle, sometimes so slow, that we don't realize. Christ also said, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Resist him with righteousness, prayer, fasting. Sometimes we have to consciously resist. Brothers and sisters, we're to be a light to this world. We're to be a people that are peculiar, people that stands apart. People that is clothed with righteousness and with the power of God. People that walks with the Spirit of God. And if we do, if we walk with the Spirit of God, if we truly seek to follow Him, people will see that we're different. People will see that we walk contrary to the world. They'll see by our countenance, by our actions, by our thoughts, by our deeds, that we are different. I believe that the Spirit of God will bear witness to people of the world that we're different. That they can see it in us. For we're to walk different. We're to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Not in the ways of the world. Not to have the desires, the feelings, the lusts of the world. But to have the desires of the things of the kingdom of heaven. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. For they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, we're not going to walk in the ways of the world. We're to give up. Give up those things of the inner man that would detract us from this gospel, from our service. We're to replace those things that are contrary to the gospel of Christ, those thoughts, those desires, those feelings even that we have sometimes, replace those with the love of Christ. I'm not going to bother today, but if you read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I believe it's on page 768 in the Book of Mormon, if you read about charity, and really sit down and analyze it and study it out a little bit, to possess charity, we must be a peculiar people. It's far more than just saying, I love you. It's our actions, it's our thoughts, it's our deeds. It's our heart. It's within here. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to have great riches. I don't think that's what it means at all. We shall have sufficient. We shall prosper in the ways of the Lord, of course. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Brothers and sisters, let us be a light to the world. Let us put off the old man. Completely put him off. Not partly. Let us strive with all our hearts and with all our intents to put the old man off, to truly take upon us the name of Jesus Christ.
Nine is our closing number. Shall we stand?
Still light.
Father, we thank you for the moments that we have spent here, and we thank you, Father, for the message of this hour. We thank you, Father, for the instruction of the gospel, for thy scriptures, and for the example of thy Son. And we ask, Lord, that indeed we would be able to make our foundation firmly upon the rock. We ask, Lord, that you will help us to put away from our lives worldliness and to indeed be thy children in all things. And Father, we do ask for the leading of thy Holy Spirit. Father, we would not forget those who stand in need this day, those who have been brought to our attention. We're thankful, Father, that our brother Dave is back with us. We ask that you would continue to be with him and strengthen him and to bless him. And now, Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands throughout the remainder of this day and ask for thy blessing in Christ's name. Amen.